morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you guys are at, good day. This is Saylet.
And this is Kalina.
And welcome to Shh, We Are Reading Dirty Books. Wait, no. We're reading dirty books. Oh, this one's going to be rough. Sorry. just prefacing this. We missed a week of recording. Kalina's still a little sick there. I also needed to do some studying, so we just had to get back into it, but now we're here.
I feel like 90% of our recordings have been prefaced with Kalina sick. And I'm never sick. I've been permasick for like never. 4 months, and this is unheard of in my life. Just, you know,
it really is. It's a true story. She's not lying about that. So we'll be a cough and sniffle every once in a while, and I just clear my throat. It's just something that I do. So,
Yeah. We all do.
So we wanted to give you guys a quick update of our Final Fantasy rating.
Nope. Fantasy football team.
Whoa! What did I say?
Final Fantasy.
I don't even fucking play that game. Why did I say that?
I don't know. But I knew right away.
I'm not going to talk much through
that's
this.
That's not what we're talking about.
Okay. So sorry.
No, it's okay.
No, go ahead.
So our fantasy football team, last week was the first week of playoffs in our league, and sadly, our team did not make it to the playoffs. We were the top spot of the losers.
Once again.
We are
the third to fourth time.
Almost
every year.
So we are in the running for the Golden Hoagie in our league. Again. Which is the winners of the losers.
Yes.
And
which is what we were last year. And
we were
like we said last time, we auctioned it off and they paid for our entry fee for this year.
Which is nice.
It was nice.
We're playing for free.
Yeah. So
someone else's dad.
Exactly. So, but my husband Daniel is one of the top four.
If he doesn't win, it will be a fucking upset.
Oh my God. It's going to be really sad because he's been top.
He's lost one game the whole season.
The whole season, but he's been number one the whole season.
Yeah, he's had the highest score almost every week.
He's never fallen. So
you know what upset me too though? Last week, like we had a bye technically in our loser bracket. Our score would have beat everybody but one person in the winning bracket. And I didn't even set our goddamn lineup because we weren't playing.
Right.
So it wasn't even like I set the lineup.
Exactly.
But still, it was higher than 6 out of the 8 people in the playoffs. Higher score then.
That's just insane.
I'm so mad!
So insane. If only we can get into the finals. If we get into the finals, I think we would do very well. But, at least...
Anyway.
And I know you don't benefit from this, but I do. So if Dan wins, then I'm good.
You're fine.
Dan and I are good. But then he'll be on the trophy for the third time in a row, and that's kind of disgusting.
Not in a row. See? It's only the second time in a row, right?
Two times in a row. He did win the first.
It will be his third place or third time on the trophy, which sucks. But I don't see anyone winning.
Yeah. No.
The person who I thought was going to beat him, Selah, lost to fucking Pickle Rick.
Sorry.
Anyway, we got in the minutia there. Yeah. Sorry, guys. But so anyone who was interested in where our fantasy football ended up, it's not great.
So
this week... We read Dark Fever by Karen Marie Monning, narrated by Joyce Bean. And this is the first book in the Fever series, I think is what the series is called. So I'll do my quick biopsy, or that's not the right word. Nobody knows words anymore,
gonna
guys.
This is going to be a shit show. I'm so sorry.
Anyway,
synopsis.
Awesome. Why did I say biopsy and synopsis?
Final Fantasy, so I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Something was in those renos.
Oh, we got drunk before. No.
Yeah.
We haven't had anything. I haven't had anything to drink. It's not.
See?
Normally I have wine. If I had wine, this would go better.
Yeah.
Dark Fever, book about Mackenzie Lane. She is a young 22-year-old from Georgia, Southern Belle. Her sister is studying in Dublin and gets murdered. Mackenzie flies off to Dublin to find out what happened, because the Dublin police pretty much after 2 weeks tell them that, oh, there's no leads, we have no idea, we're not going to investigate anymore. Which feels like a pretty small amount of time to investigate, to spend on a fucking homicide.
Yeah.
But whatever. So sister comes to save the day. She's a very sheltered, superficial character, you know? She's very clothes obsessed, and she shows up, she doesn't know a lot, and she immediately kind of stumbles upon this supernatural, like,
creature
conspiracy thing that's happening. Mm-hmm. Her sister had left her a voicemail the day she died saying that she had to find the Shisadu, and it all depended on it. She has no idea what the Shisadu is.
Neither do we.
Neither do we. Or how to spell it. Even though it gets verbally spelled for us at one point, doesn't say. It's Gaelic, obviously.
Yeah.
And that language spelling is very far divorced from pronunciation. So, anyway.
My name.
She meets a man named Jericho Barons. He runs a bookshop, which is called Barons Books and Baubles, which is the fucking best name for a bookshop.
I do really love
and
that
And I'm like,
name.
I need to make a bookshop yes. called Books and Baubles.
It's a cute name.
It would be so adorable.
It's a cute name.
I want to go to this bookshop. Yeah, it sounds fantastic. Mm-hmm. But she walks in there accidentally one night, runs into him. She, since it's a bookshop, she just asks if they happen to know what the Shisadu is, like what that word means, because she's trying to figure it out. And bam, he's all over, like, what do you know about it? What do you know? Tell me everything. And mm-hmm. she's like, no, I don't want to. Anyway, so she and him kind of meet and they start kind of a tenuous pact where he discovers she's a she-seer, which is a fairy seer, someone who can see fairies. So the she, this is a world where the she are now starting to enter the human world and causing trouble. Mm-hmm. So a lot of bad things are happening in Dublin right now. There's a lot of infestation of these unseelie fairies. Unseelie is the dark court, the bad fairies. And then the other side is the seelies, which are the light or the summer court. And sometimes they're okay, but they're better than the bad ones, but they're not great. Yeah. Anyway, they're all inhuman creatures that are really starting to cause trouble. And she has no idea what she doesn't know this about herself. Her sister obviously did. She kind of left that cryptic message for her, mm-hmm. but she's never seen a fairy before. And now she's seeing them around Dublin and they're freaking her out because they're real gross. Their glamour mm-hmm. makes them look like humans. And she can see through the glamour. She mm-hmm. seers can see past what the fairy's magic is showing the world into what they really are.
Nature.
Most of them are really gross, like gaping maws and demon-like rotting flesh
and
disgusting smelling things. So Jericho's kind of telling her about the world. He's mostly using her because she can sense the magical objects of the Fae. Mm-hmm. And they're on the hunt for this Shisadu, which is a magical book that the King of the Fairies wrote, and now everybody wants it. Because if you can read the magical book, you can, like, I don't know, rule the world. So the book basically is that. It is Mackenzie and Barons.
Jericho Barons. She refers to him as Barons the whole book.
And them hunting down. She's also trying to find out who killed her sister.
Yeah. That's the purpose of going. She's going solely for the purpose of finding who the killer of her sister is.
But now she's drug into this other side business. Because her sister kind of gets her into it through the voicemail. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the book, we know nothing else. So
we pretty much told you.
Everything you know, everything. We know.
Yeah.
It's rough. It's not great.
We're assuming that Mac and Jericho are going to start a relationship and become
but we don't know that.
Something more.
I can't tell you if they do or not.
There really isn't, and there's no sexual attraction right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, he may have glimpsed at her boobs every once in a while.
He looks at her boobs a couple times.
Yeah.
She has one moment where she thinks something sexy about him, but she thinks that's a holdover from an experience she had with a sexy Fae earlier.
Yeah, who was glamoring her or something, and so that was...
It's a rough book. Not going to lie about that. I will say, we hated last time's book because it was rapey.
It was rapey.
This book is not rapey.
this one is absolutely not rapey.
I feel fundamentally at my heart that this book is mislabeled as romance.
I would agree.
This is a fantasy book. I don't hate this book. Not like I hated last book, but I was disappointed in this book. Mm-hmm. I was left one, nothing gets resolved, which fucking frustrates the shit out of me. I understand this is part of a series, but a book within a series still needs to stand on its own. Even if it's the first one, even mm-hmm. if it's the middle one, I don't give a fuck. It needs to have a story within it that has a beginning, middle, and an end. And this book does not have that. It has all middle. It's just fucking middle. From beginning to end, it's middle. And you're like, what the fuck? So here's how it starts, Mackenzie is telling you her story from a year in the future, but we don't get there by the end of the book. It's not like we catch up to her. She's still in the future when this book ends.
Uh-huh.
And she keeps alluding to shit, but not telling us about
it. We don't know where
she... It's almost like having a narrator who is fucking with you the whole book. Because she knows these things, and mm-hmm. she will drop hints about shit,
mm-hmm.
and then not tell you. At least if you're following a character as a story unfolds, they don't know, and you don't know, and that's okay.
Sure.
Because you're learning together. But this book is narrated by a person who does know, because it's her future self telling you her past story, mm-hmm. but then she willfully drops hints of future shit that isn't in this book.
Right.
So now I've got to hold on to this information for 1, 2, 3, how many more fucking books till you're going to bring this shit back up? And that upsets me.
Oh, yeah.
I got really angry about that.
It's a book of incomplete thoughts, and it was very, I mean, it's hard enough for me to follow a book, because like I said, I usually always forget it by the time we do an episode. But this one was very forgetful for me. It was very hard for me to latch on. Kalina and I reviewed the story before we talk about it, obviously, so we know what we're talking about. This one is very difficult, mainly because I listened to the book. I really did, I promise. Nothing stuck to me at all. Yeah. Every once in a while, I might come in and be like, oh yeah, I remember that. But when you and I were talking about this, I was like, really? Because yeah. I don't remember. I
gave this book a really good shot. I have listened to it now 2 times through in its entirety. And I still am very confused. I think, okay. Mm-hmm. I don't even know that I can put it into real good structure. I'm going to try. And so number one was the fact that the narrator knows information that she's not passing on because mm-hmm. she's intent on telling the story in a chronological fashion as if she didn't, like from the time period when she didn't know. But she sneaks in pieces of future knowledge that she then does not reference again. That's frustrating. Secondly, Karen Marie Monning is the author, and I think she maybe was having a problem with millennials when she wrote this book.
It was written in 2008.
It was written in 2008, and the character's supposed to be 22, which mm-hmm. would put her as born in 86, which is at the very front edge of the millennial generation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this character constantly, Mackenzie's constantly referencing how lazy her fellow generation is and how they think their parents owe them everything and they're entitled, the entitlement generation and all of this. She talks about it constantly. But she's also the definition of the things. She's 100% the definition of the things that she is complaining about.
Oh, yeah.
By her own admission, since she left high school, since she graduated from high school, all she has done is attend bar and take 1 or 2 classes at the Podunk Community College just to keep her parents off her back while she lives at home and sits by the pool. She tries to give us this story of, like, independence, and she has a car that breaks down all the time and she's got to take it to the shop for this or that, or she's trying to live really frugally. She mentions in the book she saved all her money. That's why she's still at home. But then she's, you know, taking this trip to Dublin. Her parents didn't want her to go because obviously their daughter literally just died 2 weeks ago and their other daughter's flying off to the same city.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want her to go either if I were them. Or I'd go with her. Maybe that's a better option. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that doesn't happen. So everything is about clothes and makeup and her pink. Everything is about pink.
Everything is fucking pink.
It's so tedious. I really don't care if that's the character you want to create, but it seems like she did care. Like, at times, she owns her, like, I like to be pretty and colorful, and I'm going to dress like a rainbow, and I don't care what anyone says. And then at other times, you know, Jericho doesn't like the way she dresses most of the time, and he wants her to dress more adult, and she, like, takes offense at everything. Mm-hmm. She takes offense at everything that people say about her, but she also is like, but this is me, and I just want to be me, but I'm a child, and but I'm not a child. I don't know. It's very hard. And then there are 2 particular moments in this book where this book is so unself-aware that it's very upsetting.
Right.
So the main character, Mackenzie, at one point talks about how she likes books more than movies because while movies show you the pink house, of course it had to be a goddamn pink house, books will tell you there's a pink house and let your imagination add the roof or the door or the windows or all of the details, and your imagination's better than any movie. Side note, all this book is detailed descriptions of Mackenzie's clothes and hair. And fingernails. She goes through, I think, 8 different fingernail colors that are all pink. They just are varying terms, varying names of pink. I think she took 10 to 15 nail colors with her to Dublin to find her dead sister's killer. Who does that? This character wears like 17 different outfits. She's only there for like a week.
She got a lot of clothes.
I don't know how she has that. And she brought like a candle. I mean, these are such nitpicky things. I'm bringing up a lot of crap. But it's stuff that's hard. It ruins the flow of the book, because when you are listening to a 5-minute detailed description of the pink capri, pink blouse, silver shoes, and silver bell outfit, which, by the way, was described to us at 3 separate times in this book. First time when she wore it, and then 2 times later when she was referencing that time she wore that outfit. I am not lying. That is what happened. First off, so we listened to 5 minutes of description about that outfit, and then the very following paragraph is about how books are better than movies because they let you imagine the characters. Author, are you joking? You don't let us imagine dick.
Yeah. Literally.
Literally, we don't get dick ever.
Literally, there's no fucking dick in this book.
Oh, no, there's one. It's on one of the fairies.
Okay.
The big ugly one that starts jacking off in front of
her. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. The shit with a donkey dick.
Right. Yeah, that's true. No desirable dick.
No dick you want. Okay. The other time that this book was unself-aware was... Mackenzie somehow references the X-Files. First, this book is chock-a-block with, like, topical...
Yeah,
like,
she references cultural references, of stuff in this book.
Harry Potter, X-Files, just, like, everything gets referenced. Oh, wait, I'm gonna bring that up later. So she referenced the X-Files, but then mentions how she doesn't like that show because it's too vague and open-ended.
And she likes her stories to have tidy, neat endings.
This book couldn't be further from a tidy, neat ending if it tried.
Oh my god.
So I cannot understand how this author, either that or this whole shit is tongue-in-cheek. She wrote this entire book as a fucking farce to herself.
That this whole book was 8 hours of, what did you say, a prologue?
It's a prologue.
A prologue. It's just like a...
It's a prologue to another story.
Yeah. It was so... everything is just left open. Nothing. I mean, I think she finds the sister's killer, but that's it.
But we don't know. I actually think Jericho's right, and that's not her killer, because he was obviously using her to find the book.
Yeah.
And then he wanted to keep Mackenzie.
Yep.
He wouldn't have killed Alina. No. He would have kept Mackenzie. Or he would have kept Alina. He would have, if he thought she was onto him, he still would have just kept her. He wouldn't have killed her. I think someone else killed her. Anyway, we don't know. Nobody fucking knows. Honestly, we do know that Jericho is not human, but we don't know what the fuck he is.
No, and we don't know where he's coming from. His accent's changed.
We have what his history is.
Yeah, he's a mystery.
I don't think he's young. She thinks he's only like 7-8 years older than her. I bet fucking money that dude's immortal or something.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But we don't know. The first book of a series is over, and the main character is a goddamn question mark. What is he? I just wrote that over and over again. What is he? What is he?
We don't know.
We don't fucking know. He won't tell her.
She isn't supposed to, I guess his accent, because he doesn't really have an Irish accent. And granted, the actual narrator had to do a couple of different accents in this book. So Mackenzie has a deep South accent.
She's from Georgia. You're all lucky I ain't speaking like that.
It was hard to follow it. First, anyway, in general, because of that. And then she gets to Ireland, and then she had to do a couple of Irish accents, and then the detective there is actually a British dude. But Jericho, we don't know what the fuck Jericho Barons is, and so he's kind of borderline between Irish and something other accent, and so it was hard.
I think it was a lot of accent work for a narrator who I'm not sure was their strongest suit.
Nor was it trying to do male voices.
Male voices.
That was hard for her too.
Yeah. So, luckily there were rather few of them.
Yeah. I like Jericho. I like Jungle Bear.
I think I will like him. There's hints of reasons to like him in it. But maybe it's still... want to like him. It's intended for us to question whether he is good or bad the whole book. Because there are moments where she doesn't know if she can trust him or not. And I know why. I mean, we're not supposed to know. But there's a lot of reasons to think that he's being tight-lipped about stuff. But that he saves her quite a bit. And he seems like he has his reasons. Now, I don't know if they're good reasons or not for the why he won't tell her much of anything.
Yeah.
And it is frustrating because obviously that means we don't fucking know shit either. But she has chances to find out information from other people and doesn't take them. So she's incredibly frustrating because she waffled between, Mackenzie will waffle between, I'm doing this, I need to figure out who killed my sister, I need to help solve these mysteries, and this is obviously bigger than that because it's becoming evident to her that these bad things are killing people left and right. Like, there's an entire section of the city that's been forgotten. She calls it the Dark Zone. And the city doesn't even remember it exists anymore. None of the sanitation workers, none of the police, nobody goes there anymore. It's not even on maps, but it has free range of the shade. Like, the shades, the bad, like, life-sucking fae have free range over there. And it's evident, because there's piles of clothes everywhere, that if, like, a drunk tourist wanders down that street in the middle of the night, because they don't realize that this is a part of the city you don't go down, they get killed. Mm-hmm. So this is bigger than her. And she'll go through moments where she kind of gets that. And it's like, I'm going to, you know, help. I want to help. I want to figure this out. I want to find this book and save the day. And then she's given opportunities to do that. And she goes right back to, I'm going to run home and marry a local boy in Georgia and never leave again.
Have me some babies.
Have me some babies. And she can't decide. So she, it's so hard. Because she can't decide what she wants to do. Does she want to just go into this? Like, she doesn't have a choice. She is a seer. So she either needs, and now she's kind of in the middle of this and people are hunting for her. Either she needs to just fucking suck it up and do it. Or seriously, go home.
Yep.
Go back to Georgia. Let's just drop it now. But she can't decide whether to do that or not. She can't decide whether to trust Barons or not. She meets this old woman who instantly knows what she is, that she's a seer because she can see the Fae. And this woman can too, and starts to try to tell her about, like, rules and shit. And Mackenzie, well, part of that is she's like, no, you have to be an O'Connor. And Mackenzie's like, I'm not an O'Connor, I'm Elaine. And she basically finds out she was adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman is right, but she refuses to, like, go with her and find out information. Barons doesn't give her information voluntarily, which is frustrating. They only trade it amongst each other.
Yeah.
If she had just gone with the old woman, I feel like we would know everything already.
I do.
And so, it sucks.
Because it's so hard.
I wanted to like it. I wanted to like this book. I really was intrigued by her new world of the Fae.
Yeah.
Because fairies come up. I mean, they're, first off, I mean, that's a ancient mythological creature that has had stories about it for millennia, probably.
And it's new to It's new to our cast. We haven't had fairies before.
None of our books have had fairies yet.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting. This is a completely different fairy than any of the other books I've ever read. Like, you know, they're in the Charlene Harris series, fairies are.
Mm-hmm.
Fairies are in the Jim Butcher series, the Dresden. Books about the wizard Dresden. He's got fairies in his world, and these are completely different fairies. And I was like, okay, she's doing a lot of world building, right? Because she's telling you this new version that she has, which is good. You need to do that if you're going to kind of do a spin on a traditional creature. But she needed to do it faster and get to an actual, like, plot. Give us something to, like, want to read.
Yeah.
I don't know if even anything else I have about this book is worth bringing up. I was going to say, the one thing that just popped into my head. Mackenzie's always listening to music, and she's always calling them one-hit wonders.
Yeah.
But then she'll say something like, it's this Louis Armstrong song. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's not a one-hit wonder. It's so...
On her iPod.
She oscillates between being smart and book read, and instantly, like, at one point she asks Jericho what his heritage is, and he says Basque and Pict. Those are not common heritage. And she instantly goes, oh, I know what that is. I've studied. I've taken a lot of history classes, and I know what that is. Then, like, a chapter later, she doesn't know anything about, like, other history, or... She calls Louis Armstrong a fucking one-hit wonder. Or they steal the Spear of Destiny, which she's fucking Catholic, should know. And she doesn't know what it is, and he has to explain to her it's the spear that killed Christ. And I'm sitting there screaming at my fucking book, going, you don't know the Spear of Destiny. Oh. It's almost like the author couldn't decide what her character was. So that's why this book is hard. Because the whole time, it's like you're watching an author struggle with herself. Because sometimes this is a smart character, sometimes she's a goddamn bimbo. Yeah. Sometimes she is a millennial, sometimes she's a Gen Xer.
Yeah.
Sometimes she is strong and brave, sometimes she is, like, cowardly. Which I get, like, most characters have dichotomies to them, or have dual things that, like, they struggle with. But this isn't struggle, this is just she is dumb one day and she is very smart the next day.
Bipolar, in a sense. I think the unfair thing about this book was that we started listening to this book really excited about it. One, because it's what we're doing here, the purpose of it here, and also because we haven't had any fae or anything like that. So I think you're right in thinking or saying that this book was improperly placed in
the romance.
The romance. Category. Yeah, so we went in expecting a certain type of book and didn't get that certain type of book, and that of how she wrote it and how it was portrayed and all of these open-ended stories that's happening within these characters didn't help the situation that we also weren't getting any sex in this, because there's no sex in this book.
Nope. There are two scenes where she meets a fairy prince, one of the Seelie, so one of the light princes. They are obviously not the ones that just kill humans, but they're not nice. Mm-hmm. He is supposed to be, like, I don't know, walking sex or something.
He's
all of your fantasies and I don't know.
Your ultimate sex fantasy.
And so, like, him just being near her, she immediately becomes aroused and, like, strips. She's in the middle of the street and she's taking clothes off. The first time she just lifts her shirt up,
yep.
Which I just started laughing fucking hysterically at, because she's from the South and I'm just picturing fucking Mardi Gras and she's trying to get beads. Because all she does is she just is like, I just lift my shirt up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's not even sexy. Just like, you know, like, I got boobs. Like, well, so do all of us. But, and she keeps trying to talk to him and, like, ignore it, but she basically loses control of her hands. And, like, so she just strips, and he makes her so aroused that when he leaves, she has to touch herself and get off. But that's it. That one scene, that's all.
And it's not even, there's, like, no details to it. You just know that it happens, right?
Well, no details to that. I do think that in a future, Karen probably writes a good sex scene.
Probably. Because
when she, the descriptive words she uses to describe the swelling and and the arousal that she's feeling, they're very descriptive and they're pretty good words. Like, I mean, it's, the scene's written well.
Mm-hmm.
There's no climax for us in this scene. There's no, it's just a goddamn tease.
Right. Yes.
But I kind of, like, I bet in another book when she finally writes that sex scene, it's going to be good.
You gotta find it then.
It's going to be it's
probably in book 7.
But I bet you it's a well-written sex scene. Because I liked the imagery she was using and the way she described Mackenzie's body. Mm-hmm. Like, what was happening to her as she was becoming aroused. Because it was all really kind of detailed and was interesting. But again, nothing happens and we don't get anywhere. So it's very coitus interruptus.
It is. It is. So, I mean, I think that aspect of it is pretty unfair, because we wanted a lot more sex and arousal and all that stuff, and we just weren't getting it.
Yeah. So, it's obviously one of the tricky things when you're just pulling books out of a genre, like, that have been flagged as a genre. I mean, the same thing happens, like, if you're on Netflix and you go to the comedies and you're sitting there and there's, like, 9 yards comes up or something. That one. 9 whole yards or whatever. Whole 9 yards.
I have no idea.
Anyway. It has humor in it, but it's like a thriller movie. It's about, like, assassins. I don't know. I don't really remember it. It's a very bad example I have. It just happened to be in my head that it showed up in the comedy list, and I was like, that's not that funny. So the same thing happens here. What really should have been just purely fantasy mm-hmm. book had a moment of... And I think the two characters, I really do think Mackenzie and Jericho are building to a romance.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm sure that's why somebody put it in this category. I'd love it if we could be more specific in that, yes, we're going to call these romances, but really they're just women's audio porn.
Yeah.
Or women's book porn.
This is exactly what it is.
Like, I want, it's not the romance part I want, it's the intimacy parts yeah, that I
yeah,
want.
Yeah.
I want the characters... And like, I don't want to spend five books building to a goddamn relationship.
Right, right. And you and I, we're pretty finicky, though, because there was a lot of fucking sex in the last book.
The book was nonstop sex, but it was rapey sex.
It was rapey sex, so that was different type of sex.
We're just unhappy, and we cannot be pleased.
We have been unsatisfied this past couple of books.
Jesus.
So we're having a hard time finding it. But I mean, like, even some of the, like, the list that we were able to pull these books from. So they are giving us the top 10 romance novels or erotic fantasy novels. Obsidian Butterfly from Laura K. Hamilton is on there. And that's probably the seventh book in that Anita Blake series. The ones that I mm-hmm. talk about because it's the only ones I've read before. I mean, the good, like, hardcore sex doesn't start until a couple of books later.
Mm-hmm.
But... there's content and there's stories and there is nothing is left open except for maybe the ongoing relationship between the main characters, which obviously they need to go on and continue up to dinner.
Sure, sure.
But I've never read anything like this where I was just like, what the fuck did I just get into?
I don't know. That's what was killing me because almost everything we've read has been the first book of a series.
Yeah.
Like
And it was gripping and pulling and...
And it still had an arc that completed, like, that came to an end.
Yes.
You know? And some of them made us want to read the next in those mm-hmm. series and some mm-hmm. did not. And that's great. But none of the ones we've read yet were just like, nothing happened.
Yeah.
You gotta come back for more.
Yeah.
To figure out if they solved this fucking problem or not.
We kind of got some of those in the novellas that we read inked.
Yeah.
But even those had a closure.
Yeah, and those were, like, short.
They were short stories, and they were, like, a couple of them were snippets from another series.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just not... Boy.
I do hope that it does get better, and anybody that follows this series or wants to follow this series, great. You know, please let us know. Hey, it does get better. The second book is fucking awesome. Great. If that's the case, we'll go on to the second book, but... This one was, it was very hard for me. I will say, though, that if we're going to talk about just, like, audio in general,
mm-hmm.
The way that audiobook had, the way that this was recorded was pretty cool because, you know, she listened to the voicemail from her sister and she talks to her dad over the phone. And so they kind of do, like, this off track. So it sounds like, it literally sounds like a voicemail. So it's a little bit stressed.
It's almost like a radio play.
Yeah.
Because it's basically taking a piece of the book and it's recorded different so it sounds like a voicemail.
Yes.
It mm-hmm. has that, like, voicemail, like, canned quality to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the phone conversation sounds like the other half
muffled, like he was far, far away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it did. I mean, it was an interesting,
mm-hmm.
it almost, like, technique and play to kind of add depth to the recording instead of just the same narrator reading each piece.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that had... That was neat. I did like that,
too. I like that a lot. I haven't come across anything like that before, so.
I think this was a brilliance audio recording.
Yes, brilliance.
Yeah.
So it was good in that aspect. I was just like, oh, that is pretty cool. And I was actually excited because she gets that voicemail from her sister when she finally gets a new phone.
Oh,
a Nokia from the mall. A Nokia!
This,
I was like, I forgot about fucking Nokias. Yeah,
she
finally...
fell in the pool. And she didn't replace it. And then 2 days later, she still hadn't replaced it. She finds out her sister's dead. And she goes another 2 weeks before she finally replaces her phone.
Mm-hmm.
And finds out that her sister had left her a voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
I can't with this character. Oh, at one point, Jericho takes her to meet a vampire. And he's very particular about the way she's dressed. I mean, literally 90% of this book is her clothes. It's way too much. It's way too much of this book. But she decides to kind of, like, disobey him and she dresses like a fucking rainbow to go meet this vampire, which in and of itself is a really interesting choice. But she's made it. But then, while she's there, she finds... So not only is she, are they trying to find this book, she also can detect objects of power from the Fae. And they're trying to collect as many as they can because they kind of all fit together into like this puzzle or something. Mm-hmm. Or they have to use them to track other ones or whatever. So she senses an object of power at the vampire's house while he and Jericho are arguing. And she steals it. And in order to steal it, to fit it in her purse, she has to empty her purse. So this is the contents of her purse that she took to a vampire's house that she left behind. A makeup kit, a hairbrush, nail polish, and 2 candy bars. And I'm just like, what did you think was happening to you that you felt you needed those in your purse to go visit a vampire? Meanwhile, and like, if it was me, I only have one purse and I have everything. It's the same thing in the purse, whether I'm going, to work or going out to a club. Mm-hmm. I don't go to clubs. But they make a point of she changes her purse every day. She has a different purse for every outfit. So these are it's not like, oh, she just had candy bars in her purse because she always has candy. No, she put candy bars, nail polish, makeup, and a hairbrush in her purse to go meet a vampire. This was an intentional move on her part. And then she took them all out and left them at his house so she could steal his powerful object.
Not only that, but she traveled from Georgia to Ireland with how many sets of nail polishes, how many sets of purses? I think 12. Those were her detective contents. She was going to go detect who had murdered her sister in a foreign country. Those were her detection items. That reminds me of like the parodies on the scary movies. Yes. Where like there's the whole wall of axes and swords and guns and they grab a fucking banana. That's what she did. She grabbed a fucking banana to go find her sister's killer.
It's nonsensical. It's so fucking stupid. Every scene she's wearing strappy sandals or heels or flip flop. It's not to that very last scene that she puts on tennis shoes. And I'm like, you spend most of the time running around chasing fairies. Put on some fucking tennis shoes, bitch.
Wow, my God.
It's hard. And they, like, she has long, beautiful blonde hair, and he makes her cut it off and dye it black.
Yeah.
And she hates it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know why that was funny to me.
No, that was pretty funny. It's because she's fucking full of herself. She's a very conceited character, which I find hard to swallow as well. She was very, very, she was judgmental, for one, about others.
Everything.
And then
no one has good enough manners. Nothing, no one dresses well. Nothing is right.
She didn't like cuss words, but whatever. The two each their own. If you don't fucking like cuss words, then I mean, that's hard
because you're listening to the wrong fucking podcast.
But the only thing I found endearing about this book was probably the relationship that she had with her sister. I have 2 sisters. My sisters are nuts. They're crazy. I love them to death, but they are crazy. So I understand that relationship. I love my brother too. My brother is great also. So, and I try to relate try to put myself in a position where I can relate to these characters in some way so that I can get more into the book. And that was, at that point, the only thing that I can relate to was her relationship with her sister. While I don't know, she's pretty brave for wanting to go to Ireland and try to figure all this out because her parents are falling apart. Her mom is not, she's just sick all the time and taking medication and everything. And and then her dad is just kind of shut down. He's starting to drink more. That's understandable, I commend her for being brave enough to go out to a foreign country and try to figure this out because the Irish police aren't doing anything about it.
No.
They've closed it. It's in the cold places now. And so I get that. So I would say that's just that context of the book was endearing to me. And I was able to not really put myself there, but it was the only thing that I can relate to. It was the only thing I liked was that.
Yeah. And I think I'm harping on so much of the superficiality of her because it's not just that I don't like that particular type of woman.
Sure.
I'm not just trying to do that. I'm not trying to dog people women who really like clothes and want to be into fashion and all that.
Whatever.
I honestly, I've known women, but I haven't known anyone like her. Like, I didn't feel she was real, right? I was struggling to see how a person could be like her. It wasn't just superficiality. It was a particular kind that, I don't know. It was too confusing. Because, mm-hmm. like, yeah, at times she talked about how pretty she was all the time. But then she'd be self-deprecating about other things. She wouldn't like it when people compared her to Barbie, but all she wore is pink. Like,
long blonde hair.
Long blonde hair, tan skin, mm-hmm. and pink. But don't talk to me about being a Barbie. Like, I can't. You can't. That's a fucking target.
Big boobs.
Big, like, boobs. Yeah. I mean... But then she would, like, she talked about being pretty, but then she kept going out with Jericho to these places where she'd see women who were, like, hot, mm-hmm. and, like, adult women. Like, mm-hmm. and that was, I think, part of it, is he kept asking her to dress more adult, mm-hmm. and to be more adult, but she really wasn't, which is fair, she's only 22, that's barely an adult. I just don't know. I couldn't relate to her at all either, because I was like, it's one thing to like fancy clothes or, you know, dress a certain way, but it was like all she had. Like, she at one point she does wonder if she even was real before she found out that her sister died. She thinks back to her person who sat by the pool and listened to music, mm-hmm. and liked fancy, like, pretty clothes and shiny things, and wonders if that even is a whole person. And I'm like, no, it's not.
No.
Well spotted, character. You were not a whole person before.
Oh, man. Because,
yeah, she has to have something else. Something, yeah. more to live for and more ambition or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Not everybody does. But anyway, I don't hate her. I think have I disliked other characters? I'm sure.
We hated Vlad, but...
We hated Vlad.
Recently, he's, like, probably my top four. I'm just like, come on, this is... It's been rough. The past two books
have
been
rough. And it's hard to say whether I really like Jericho or not. Because literally know nothing about him.
We don't know anything about
him. He has no personality, and I don't know anything about him.
That's true. He has no... I mean, he's just there to help find the oop.
Oh, the oop. She gave the objects of power the name oop.
Yep.
She's an oop detector.
She's an oop
detector. Because object of power, first off... Oh, God. You guys, I'm done with it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We gotta move on. So. Just because I can't do it any longer. I feel like I'm just bashing books now. This podcast's hard because I love books.
I know.
And the past two books I've just not been happy with.
It's been rough.
Fucking fingers crossed we've picked a better one.
I know. Yes, I hope so too. I hope so too. Let's move on to our Kiss and Tell.
Kiss and Tell.
So, as you guys know, our Kiss and Tells are a part of the cast that we are going to start introducing. Or actually, we've already introduced.
Oh, maybe we have.
Oh my God, what is wrong with me? that we've introduced and that we are doing that is pretty much pulling personal stories about ourselves that's relatable to this book. And while we literally just said we can't find ourselves relatable to this woman, Mackenzie Lane, in this book, she does... for the lack of sex and everything that's in this book, she does, at least twice in the book, maybe only twice, reference to giving herself some selfies, because that's about the only thing that she can release from all of the spells that she's been put under by these fairies.
The sexy fairies. What was his name, like... Blaine?
They all had stupid names.
I don't know. We don't know.
Everybody
Whatever.
Had dumb names.
The prince, the sexy prince who, like, he showed up and she stripped on the street. And then he showed up in the museum.
Yes.
And so after both incidents, she vaguely mentions in passing that she had to give herself an orgasm afterwards to relieve the tension she was under from his sexual spells that he worked.
So we're going to talk about selfies. And I know that that's a really bad, especially right now in our
culture.
Selfies are not what...
Those have a different meaning.
Yeah. And I understand what selfies mean, but I like saying selfies in this sexual content because I think it's funny. So I'm going to call them...
It's selfies. A better word than masturbation.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just a long, like, technical sounding word. It doesn't sound sexy and fun.
No, it's not.
So, we're going to use solos. Selfies. Solos.
Solos. Some solo moments, some selfie SOs, moments.
Solo orgasms.
Well, there you go. Yes.
No, SO also has nothing.
Oh, yeah. There's also a really bad name.
Yeah.
Let's not do SOs.
Let's not do those,
Oh,
guys.
My God. That's awesome.
All right. So, in the spirit of Christmas, because it's actually about 2 weeks. A week and a half before Christmas, too. So we wanted to kind of do a holiday kiss and tell and kind of combine this... Maybe mm-hmm. I just meant, maybe we hadn't decided we were going to do, I might have
no,
just.
No, we're deciding, no, we did.
So it's kind of a both. It's like a Christmas theme, like
present. Time is irrelevant right now, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever. It's not Christmas for you, it's just Christmas for us.
It might be July when you hear this.
It's a time warp. So, masturbation. Or solos. Selfies? Doing...
I like selfies.
Selfies. Selfies. Well, we're calling it now. It's selfies.
Although, when we do start talking about our Snapchat selfies, which we do a lot.
We do.
We're going to have to
photos of ourselves on Snapchat. We don't do selfies while Snapchat. On Snapchat.
Oh, we just ruined the world. Oh my God, my brain is broken. Okay.
Because you could.
Yeah.
Sure, people do. That's why they invented Snapchat.
So true.
We don't. I just take pictures of myself with bunny ears.
And we send it to each other.
My head.
That's all you see.
Okay, we've gotten so... Okay, we've gone down a path. We gotta get back. We gotta get back.
All right,
okay.
Right.
Masturbation.
Kiss and tell.
So, in the spirit of Christmas, I recently bought myself a fancy new toy.
Ooh.
It's a vibrator. I realized, it's been coming on for about a couple months, that I realized that I have two existing vibrators, both of which were given to me as presents from friends.
Mm-hmm.
My first one was quite a while ago, back like when I was in college, some friends gave it to me. And the same thing for my second one, which was very nice. And I actually really, really fucking appreciate that. And if you have friends in your life who are like that kind of person, yeah. who are just like, I'm giving you something that I know you're going to enjoy. Yeah. Like, how great is that?
It's bold enough and...
Yeah. I would not have. Like, right. Especially in my 20s, would not have bought myself one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was just not there yet, you know, with sexual, like... comfortableness. I knew self-pleasure, but toys are much more fun.
Oh, toys are fuck. So much better.
And I think I'd have tendonitis by now if I didn't have a goddamn toy. I'd be like, my hand would be like, man. Anyway.
So. No, totally.
So, I appreciated the gifts from them, but I had also realized I'm, you know, 35 now, and I was still relying on presents that had been given to me like 15 years ago. Uh-huh. And I'm like, it's time.
Yep.
You need to buy yourself a present. Like, first off, you're doing this damn podcast where you talk about sex all the time.
Yes.
The least you can do is buy yourself. Go out and research vibrators and, like, look for what your, like, my particular needs and wants mm-hmm. are.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've mentioned on the podcast a couple times I particularly like to use mine in the shower. So mm-hmm. it has to be waterproof. And one of the ones that I have now is not. And I still just pretend it is.
Let's not get electrocuted. Well, I don't think that's a possibility, but
yeah, there's tiny batteries. What are they gonna do, right? I don't know. I haven't been electrocuted yet, so obviously it still works.
We're good then.
Obviously. But so I mean, you know, spent a lot of time like looking through websites mm-hmm. and there's this one company that I had been introduced to. I'm not exactly sure where, somewhere online, but it's a company of women, like run by women, making women products. I can't speak too much to them because I honestly didn't read a lot of it before I thought about talking about this. But they're called Dame, D-A-M-E, Dame. And I know that they make products like vibrators and stuff for women
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and they're designed by women. So this, what I bought myself is called the Eva 2. It's the second generation of their Eva. And it's just a small little guy that is completely hands-free. You can just insert it and it sits on your clitoris and mm-hmm. is delightfully vibrating. And I have had it now for a week and I fucking love it. It is so good, guys.
That is awesome.
I highly recommend if anyone's interested.
Go look it up. It looks like those little plastic frogs that you would like... on its butt and then it hops.
It kind of sits like that.
And it just kind of, it sits like that. It's almost the same, well, at least the one, the color you chose is.
Well, there's only two colors. Oh. There's fur and, like, the green, I said fur. You know, it is called that, but F-I-R.
Yeah,
fur. Tree, mm-hmm, green,
mm-hmm.
or pink. And I just felt like.
It's already pink down there.
Yeah, everything down there's pink. I'm like, let's get some contrast.
What's this?
I'm lost in its pink.
Help me find it. I dropped it. It's like a frog.
No. Well, and the neat thing about this particular vibrator, too, is it is, since it's small and it's kind of hands-free, it's purposely designed to be really easily used in couple-like sessions, so it doesn't get in the way of penetrative intercourse, but you can still have clitoris stimulation while doing that, which have not tested it yet. Someone's going to find out.
Well, is this particular someone, do you think, open? I'm saying particular. I fucking know who it is, but I'm not going to...
I assume so. I think that's a question I probably should ask.
Nah.
I would think.
Surprise.
Well, obviously I'm going to add. I'm not going to surprise. But I'll be like, this is happening. I guess if he says no and no, whatever. I'll just be like, okay, I'll go over there then.
I can't see that he would say no.
Oh, I can't imagine it. I can't imagine that either.
Dan would be over this in a heartbeat. I'm going to go home and tell him about this. I'm going to take a picture of this shit and tell it to him. Because meanwhile, you've got 15-year-old vibrators and a one-week-old one.
I take very good care of them.
Yes, she does. She's actually really good about that shit.
That's how they last, though.
Yeah.
It's not because they're unused. They're babied.
They're just in their... Right.
Baby them. You got to take their batteries out in between use.
Meanwhile, I used to fucking sell sex toys, and I used to have boxes full of this shit. Now I have just a drawer full of a couple of them, and my favorite one is, I don't even know what it's called, but it's purple and white.
One of mine is purple and white!
I want to say it's an Evo, but I don't know what the fucking Evo is, and I think maybe because you said Eva, I'm gonna say Evo. I have fucking no idea.
Mine is definitely called
Eva. Yeah, yours is an Eva. But this one, you could put batteries in, or you can plug it up into the AC adapter and charge it or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So, and it's pretty nice. It's powerful. There's a piece where it can go up inside you, and the other little piece. So that one you can play with, I guess, with partners. Dan and I, we bring it out every once in a while and play with it, especially when he's like, let's just do this. And I'm like, okay, I don't fucking care. I fucking love that thing. That thing is great. But you can't. It kind of gets in the way.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm very interested in this. Yeah. This is going to be a new adventure. I'll have to push my other ones aside. But what I like about mine is that, and this one, yours looks pretty cool because it looks like you just throw it on this little charge port and it doesn't plug to anything. It just wireless charges.
It has no ports or holes or anything.
Yeah.
It sits at its base and the base charges it. Which I'm super thrilled about.
Yeah.
All my previous vibrators are battery operated.
Yeah.
And you can go through some AA's fast.
Yeah.
And I look like a crazy AA hoarder. This doesn't, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
And also, because there's absolutely no holes or anything, it's 100% waterproof.
Yep.
It's not just water resistant. Like, I don't have to worry at all, and I use it in the shower a lot.
Yeah, which is awesome. So, and the... I can't obviously take mine in there. Well, maybe I shouldn't. I don't know. I haven't tried it. I'm really against the whole water thing.
Like, I know. We've talked.
But I love that it charges with the...
Yeah. Because, batteries.
Batteries can be a nuisance.
They're a big problem.
Yeah. For sure.
And they're expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And when every AAA battery or AA battery in the house has disappeared over the course of a couple months, and like your roommates are like, didn't we have batteries? And you're like, no. Absolutely, we had no batteries.
What is a battery?
What? I did not take them all. That's not what happened.
They are not in my room.
The remotes don't have batteries in them either. What?
That's awesome.
So yeah, I'm excited. No more batteries.
That's so cool. I got my first vibrator. It was called a Junior Softy, and it was presented to me by three guys. We were in high school. You could probably guess
which three guys they are.
100%. I didn't know what it was. I was either 16 or 18 at the time. I don't remember if I was a sophomore or a senior. It was on one of my birthdays. I mean, I knew what it was, and I guess I knew the concept of it, but I was so naive to that whole, like, you know, sex and in general and everything. And while I lost my virginity young, I didn't really start having, like, sex until I was 16. But even then, it was with a partner. It wasn't with a toy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, it was ribbed and, it vibrated and all that stuff. I never used it. I never, ever used it because I didn't know how.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
That's a sad story. But
it is a sad story.
But I never, and it was, I think it was just a joke. I think they bought it for me as a joke. And I wasn't sure I remember reacting to it and I was like, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. And they were having the time of their lives because they thought it was real funny. And it was real funny. I didn't get the joke because I didn't know what it was.
I know. I
was
just That's like, so sad.
What is going on with this?
Men.
I know.
Well, teenage adolescent boys, I guess. They aren't men. They were not men at that age.
They sure as hell thought they were funny, though.
Yeah. Luckily, mine was given in not in jest, but as it was given, like, not in front of other people, so I didn't have to have that weird, like, open it and be mm-hmm. like, I don't, oh, yeah. No, but it's given privately and is like a, hey, I yeah. think you're going to want to explore this.
Yep.
And I did. And I was very, I'm still to this day appreciative because yep. again, like I said, I don't know at what point I would have decided to buy myself something. Obviously, right. I mean, because I had those two, I took 15 years.
Yeah.
I think, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, I'd have bought it earlier if I had not been given one. But who knows?
Might
never have.
Well, I mean,
so
that's true. I mean,
be the friend who gives your other friends, especially your friends who are maybe a little shy and
yeah.
prudish, give them a vibrator.
Yeah.
Unless they're like super conservative religious, and then maybe
give
them ask
a
them
big
first.
One.
And a book.
Let them listen to this podcast.
We'll help them.
And we'll help them.
So.
Yeah, I mean, because a couple years ago, I started selling them at a private company and did parties and stuff like that with them, and it was a lot of fun, mm-hmm. throwing fake dicks around.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I was in college for all of that, mm-hmm. so I really wasn't around when you were doing it. I kind of vaguely knew that you were, but I wasn't here for it.
We also really weren't there at our relationship.
No.
Well, we were close, it just, we just weren't there.
Nope, we weren't.
So now...
Now we're here.
Now we're here, and it's awesome.
Where I just showed you my vibrator.
I know, and I touched it.
It's clean.
Really soft. Yeah, I trust her. It's like super smooth, and it's like
a silicone, but it's a special kind that's completely like, you know, toxin free.
Yeah.
And like mm-hmm. not gonna fucking poison your vagina.
Right, right. It's BPA free.
It's made by women for women, so I think
which
that's
is
key.
Appropriate. Yeah.
I was really impressed with them and their mm-hmm. company and, you know, their kind of mission. Because they're kind of doing similar things to what we are trying to do with this podcast.
Sure.
Is like, and actually something that kind of ties it back into this book, the two times that Mackenzie actually had to, you know, deal with sex and arousal in this book, she mentioned both times how ashamed she was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in her defense, she was in public and had not intended to become aroused when a fairy showed up and made her so, and
yes.
she didn't have control over it, and I would be embarrassed as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to kind of take that shame that women feel around their own sexuality and kind of shine a light on that and go, no, it's not shameful. This is just human.
It
These
is.
Are human feelings, and
selfies are fun.
So they're so
selfies
good.
Are fun.
Because the more you know yourself, the better you're going to be able to help a partner.
Absolutely.
Because guys don't fucking know. They don't.
They don't.
Study after study proves that they yeah. literally do not understand the workings of the female organs. They don't even know what they are.
Exactly. No, unless you are a magical creature in a romance novel, then...
Those men know.
Those men know.
Those men are all written by women.
Exactly. Hey, that brings up something that I wanted to ask. Are there any romance novels written by men?
Like, oh, I'm sure.
Like this? I think we should try to find one. I don't know where to even start with that.
That's a good point. We have to. I mean, I've seen a couple on the list, but I've always recognized the books, and they're more in the, like this book.
Not supernatural?
Well, no, they're more like this book, where they're just fantasy, sci-fi.
I see.
And less romance. Like,
yeah.
A couple times I've seen some of the Jim Butcher books show up on there. And I love that series. I love the character of Dresden. He's Harry Dresden. He's a wizard and he's mm-hmm. fantastic. And if you haven't read the series, fucking do. I have all of them in audiobook. You can go ahead and listen to them.
Awesome.
But there's only, like, he has sex very rarely. He's actually, like, a hermit almost most of the time. So there's a couple of storylines that could be considered romance, and I've seen him show up on paranormal romance lists.
Okay.
But it's a stretch, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I would never read him for this podcast. As much as I love those books, I love them for
it's
a different
not,
reason.
Right.
It's not, you know.
Well, I think it's just like the Game of Thrones. You could read all of those books, and there's sex in those books.
Yeah.
And there's good sex in that book.
Mm-hmm.
But the purpose of that whole series is for the story of Game of Thrones. It's not...
It's a fantasy novel.
It's a fantasy novel.
I've read one of those, and I would not call that romance either. Mostly because it's incest.
It really isn't a lot of
romance. A lot of incest. Yeah, so we should do that. We'll probably... Like, I'd like to promise to our listeners that we're going to get better at picking our next books.
Yeah.
So far... We're kind of just stumbling through this and figuring out how best to do this. We do have lists. Like, I've scoured the internet and found a handful of different publicized top 25 paranormal romance novels, top 15 paranormal romance novels, you know, like, all these. And when you look at them, it turns out this is a hard genre to classify precisely, and everyone has a different opinion on what fits in it. And so we're trying to kind of muddle through that. And honestly, we have the last handful of books, especially because we've been doing all the audio ones, they're just random ones that I've found on Audible during sales.
Yeah.
They were having a site-wide sale, and I just went to their romance section, and I picked all of the ones with paranormal titles.
Yeah.
And I bought them all. So I don't have, like, they just are books I bought.
Right.
I don't exactly have... They're not on somebody's list necessarily. We haven't researched them. There's a handful of authors I still want us to get to because I have looked them up and I know that they're considered top of this genre and we should read them. We'll get there. Pretty much, we also are like pre-recording a lot of this. We haven't started in our timeline, in the timeline of our world.
In our real world at this very moment.
We haven't started publicizing these podcasts yet. We haven't put them out publicly. We're hoping that once we start doing that,
we'll start getting some feedback.
Then
from
we
listeners.
Want feedback. We want you guys to tell us what we should read.
Yeah.
Because I know we're missing. But again, this is only our 9th one.
Yeah.
So we've only read 9 of what I think might be 1,000
books.
Yeah. Or a billion. It's going to, obviously, we're going to go through duds and we're going to come across ones that for some, like even the title and the cover of this book, the title, Dark Fever.
Oh my God.
That invokes dark romance, sex, lust. And then the cover of the book is two naked people in shadow and light.
Yeah.
Shadow and light. Naked woman, naked man, shadow, light. Beautiful. What the fuck? Nothing. It's not in the book. So we were led astray, but it's not our fault. That's what I'm saying. It's not our fault.
It was not our fault.
The way this book looked and was described, it should have worked, and it's...
And who knows, maybe it does eventually. It just did not.
Maybe the series gets there.
Yeah. It's just maybe one of those slow-going ones.
Hmm.
And if it is, that's great. For anybody who has read all of it, let us know.
Sure.
But we'll go on from there. So.
Anyway. All right. So, well, here's fingers crossed for next time. We are going to be reading Dragonbound. We've decided to go back to some dragons.
Yeah.
It's not the same series or author or anything as our previous dragon book, but...
Which we loved.
We loved.
We loved it. But this one also has Fae and...
Yeah, they said there's a battle between...
Vampires too, right? No.
Where?
Wire.
Weir. Oh, no.
W-Y-R.
We don't know yet. We haven't read the book. But anyway, it's called Dragonbound by Thea Harrison, and the narrator is Sophia Eastlake.
So completely new people.
All new people. We haven't had any we haven't had any books by Thea. We haven't had Sophia narrate anything yet. So it's 100% new, which will be interesting and exciting. And hopefully we really, really love it.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, maybe some of our best work is when we don't love it. Although I don't want to bash any more books. I love books.
I love books,
and I don't enjoy not liking the books I'm reading.
Keep in mind, though, that the reason, like, one of the reasons why you and I are doing this is because we're really good at complaining.
That's true.
And and we like to get together and just complain, which is what we do a lot. You know, our upcoming cookie date. That's a tradition that we have with our girlfriend Emily. And right now there are kids involved, so there's going to be kids running there. There's actually going to be a fucking closing involved because I have to close on on my house and things like that. So this is just going to be a big, busy day. So,
and all Cookie Day ever has been is us complaining about Cookie Day.
Yes, and we've done this for years.
Decade.
Yes, I think it's okay. I mean, it sucks that we are coming across, you know, a couple of duds where we're like complaining about it and not enjoying it, but we're enjoying doing this.
Here's what I would say, especially about our last two books. While I would not recommend anyone read the book we read before, last week's book or last time's book, Feral Sins, unless you really, I don't know. I found it, I really struggled with it. I thought the themes in it were just like, we keep calling it rapey.
It was aggressive.
It really was. It was aggressive. Hard to read. It made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was.
This book, I know there are people out there who would not have the same opinion of this book as we had. Who would really have enjoyed this book and would think that everything we just picked was nitpicky.
Yeah.
And not really a good critique.
Sure.
And I actually, like I said, I listened to it twice. I really gave this book a chance. And I don't hate it. I don't hate this book. I just was disappointed in it. But I think, like, if it sounds, like, if anything we have said about it sounds kind of intriguing, give it a chance. It's also not long. I mean, if it's an 8-hour audiobook, it's gonna be a fast read. Yep. So even if you don't get the audiobook, you're gonna go through it pretty quickly. It can't be more than, like, 200 pages, I would think. Mm-hmm. So give it a shot. This book I don't want to bash. I didn't love it and I was disappointed. But the last book I hated.
Yeah. So. Well, while we're here then, what is... Yes. Your rating.
What is our dirty pleasure rating?
Yes.
So I'm going to give this book a 3, and I basically say it was a frustrated all tease and no orgasm.
Yeah, okay.
Like, you know, I want to give it like a 3 or so. Something in there where it's, oh, you're worked up, but no surprise. Like, no.
Blue balls.
Yeah, it's blue balls.
It was the blue balls. Barely a blue balls book. Yeah. I'm going to have to agree with you there. I'm going to give it, like, shit, I want to give it, like, a 2.
You gave last book a 1, right?
No, I don't know.
Did you give it a 0?
All of our fucking, our scale is way off.
We also need to track this.
We do need to track this.
I think we'd understand our lives better if we tracked our own ratings.
I might have given it a 2. Maybe, oh, I remember what I did. I think I scaled it differently. I think storyline and rapey-wise, it was probably a 2 or a 3. But sex-wise, it was way up there because it was, the whole fucking book was sex. So they talked about sex the whole time. I think that's what I did. But I think this one I'm going to give overall, I want to say 2. And, like, barely 2. I had a really hard
you
time
did.
This
You had
book.
A worse time.
I'm going to go between, like, 1.5 and 2. A dry spell. 1.5 to 2. Like, I have to do that. It was, I don't want to say I hate it, but I sure as hell did not like it. It was just really, really rough for me. And I really do hope the series gets better.
Yeah.
Because, like you, I don't like bashing books. It was tough. This one was tough.
I think I'm going to stick with my 3 into a 4 almost. It was tease. It was all tease.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know what fucking happened. And I can't tell you how frustrating it is to not know what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
I frequently have found myself reading a book I did not know was a series and getting to the end and immediately buying the entire rest of it because I have to know what happened. And I just, the fact that I don't know what happens in this book, like, not only in the series, but literally in this book, nothing happens.
In the book alone. Book 1 of this series.
Yeah. What the fuck is Jericho? What is he? Why won't somebody tell me what he is? Somebody tell me what he is. Someone else read the rest of the books and tell me. I want to know.
And I know I complain a lot more about the lack of sex and your, like, storyline and everything, which makes sense.
That I don't know. We flipped sides on that because I told you the second book we listened to was boring and the sex came too late. So obviously
I really like that book. I don't know.
We're different.
Which is good.
Actually, that's great. So I think that's it. Did we hit all of our stuff?
I think so.
We almost forgot rating.
We did. We almost forgot that.
We got that. Yay. Okay. Next time, join us again for Dragonbound by Thea Harrison. The narrator is Sophia Eastlake.
As we're speaking about telling us to read different books, and if you've read this books, we have to tell you how to contact us. So we are at shdirtybooks@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle and Facebook are at shdirtybooks.com, and that is I got it wrong again. Twitter, you should be doing this. Twitter and Facebook. Oh, fuck
okay.
me.
Hi, guys. Let's try again.
Oh, my God.
Gmail. You can email us at shdirtybooks@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter or Facebook at shdirtybooks.
Oh.
And for all three of those, sh is spelled with 3 H's. So S-H-H-H. Dirty books.
What the fuck?
I don't know. I actually have made you do this like 4 times in a row.
And I get it wrong every fucking time.
It's because I'm kind of sadistic and I'm like, do it again.
Why
see if you can get it now.
I'm reading it, but I'm making up words as I'm reading it. I literally can fucking see it. Don't listen to fucking anything I say. Go to our Facebook page and fucking find it there. Click the hot link. I love you guys.
Dirty books. This has been We're Reading Dirty Books. Oh, we just have to go now.
No, I'm just leaving. Okay, and I'll say that. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Galena and Saylet. Be sure to tune into the next episode. Get some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format that allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.
We'd like to thank Jim Townsend for that sexy music and amazing introduction.